Why is the local church important? Today we have a conversation with our pastors, and we look at Titus 2. This is the We the Exiles podcast.
We will not build the church according to the changing whims of an ungodly culture. We will change that ungodly culture by the power of the immutable gospel.
Welcome to the We the Exiles podcast. I'm your host, Cameron Wood, along with my co-host and brother, Chandler Wood.
Hello.
We appreciate you joining us today. In this podcast, we examine Christian culture in the light of Scripture. We believe in the sufficiency of Scripture, and our goal is to help others be bold and stand firm in a world that is increasingly anti-Christ.
And with that, we pray, Jesus Christ, may you be glorified and give us wisdom to speak clearly and boldly about your unchanging truth.
So, Chandler, you want to go on a cruise?
You know, cruise sounds nice. Cruise sounds nice.
It's been a long time. The only time I've been on a cruise is when someone else has forefronted the money, i.e. being our father and our mother. But speaking of cruises, and why I'm asking that is because you guys may have seen this or may have not, but there is a Stephen Curtis Chapman cruise in Alaska coming up.
Ooh, man, I want to hop on that.
Yeah, just for kicks and giggles, let's play the advert or the advertising for that.
Hey everybody, Stephen Curtis and Mary Beth Chapman here, and we are very excited to tell you about our next great adventure, a cruise to Alaska.
On July 24th through 31st, 2020, we're heading out to the Great Alaskan Outdoors, where we'll get to spend a week worshiping together.
And eating good food.
And going on some unforgettable excursions.
And eating great food. Did I mention food? Because there's lots of food on cruises. That's really good.
Okay.
Oh, and
I can't take any more of it.
That's really awesome.
You know, it's like an ad that you feel like your parents would make if they were making an ad for something in general. When I saw it, I sent this to Chandler whenever I came across it.
It was just funny because you never really send me emails. So it was weird like to pull up the email and then you'd send me an email.
Well, it just came across the feed on YouTube and We're not necessarily condemning these things, but it does in a way kind of rub me the wrong way. It is funny.
It's funny that, like, I don't know. It's kind of become a trend. Like, I think DC Talk did one.
Yeah.
And
the reason this one's so funny to me, though, is, you know, the difference that I see, those, like, the other mainstay cruises, like the K-Love cruise and all those type of cruises, they're kind of geared towards, I would say, younger, maybe a little bit of a younger audience, maybe middle-aged audience. But this one just seems straightforward, like, okay, you are a Stephen Curtis Chapman fan, you know, in the beginning, and you're now older, you probably have a family. This is like mom and dad,
yeah.
Stephen Curtis Chapman cruise.
Yeah.
And this is something, actually, that if our dad probably had the extra money to do, he would probably do something like this.
He might.
He was a big fan of Stephen Curtis Chapman in the 90s.
I liked some Stephen Curtis Chapman.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie either. We like, I mean, The Lord of the Dance, I used to jam to that.
It's funny, though, too, because this is kind of, to me, it's kind of like, it might not be, but it's kind of like a last ditch effort. It's like, okay, my career has kind of spanned, you know, I need just that other thing. And that's like kind of like DC Talk. They did like a cruise reunion. Why not just do like a festival or something?
Yeah,
it's like, and then they always promote it like a year out.
Yeah.
But
I guess for me too, I guess a question, because I always ask myself these questions and also want to pose these questions, I guess, to challenge the listeners and other people in the Christian faith. Are they beneficial? Are Christian cruises beneficial? Are they beneficial to our walk in Christ? Is it something that we technically need to grow our faith in Christ? I know that because of the Western culture and where we live and stuff, these things are prominent. And again, no way are we saying, if you go on that, you're not a Christian or anything like that. We just want to ask questions in regards to what is it, what's important for us as Christians to spend our time and money on? And so it's just to see that, and the way that it kind of came off across to me is that, you know, there, to me, asking myself, even if I had interest in that, is spending the money, because I'm sure it's not cheap, is spending that mm-hmm. money or doing that beneficial to my faith, and is it also something I should be spending my money on? Again, these are questions we want to ask, because these are questions that we need to be asking ourselves in every facet of life.
Yeah, but I'd also say on the flip side of that, I guess if you were going just to take a cruise in general,
yeah,
you know, that might be a better cruise if it's more geared toward Christ exalting things. So, you know, that's, you know, whatever you choose.
And I guess being Alaskan cruise, you don't have to worry about.
That's what I was going to say too.
Half naked women walking across the deck.
I want to take Reagan one day on a cruise, and she's always like, I don't want to go on, you know, one where half naked women are everywhere.
Well, yeah, you shouldn't want that.
I don't either. I really love the sights of like the Caribbean. But I would like to take an Alaskan cruise or something like that, where just the sights are incredible. But I like cruises.
Yeah, yeah. And again, that's what I'm saying. You know, I think that we, especially something like that, I'm sure it's beautiful. I mean, being able to embrace, and he alludes to it in his little ad, but creation stuff for me, that would be the thing that would get me the most excited if I was going to do something like that. I'm not a big cruise guy. I would rather, if I'm going to do something, spend going to like the mountains or something and spending time away just from modern day society and all of the distractions and just kind of get away. That's kind of like my idea of an actual like vacation. You know, there are other things for Christians, you know, small conference things that kind of get kind of similar to what's going on this cruise, but in that type of context too. So, you know, there's all kind of options. I don't think there's anything wrong with having various options for us in the faith to have an alternative to, you know, worldly structured things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not like it's a booze cruise, so I can give it, you know, give it that context.
It might turn out to be really cool. So, you know, if you're a Stephen Curtis Chapman fan and you want to cruise, hey, there you go.
Go on a cruise. Well, we're going to take a quick break. And when we get back, we're going to have a conversation about the local church with our pastors.
Leaving Shadowland, Seeker and Servant's newest EP, including the singles Where Would I Be and Fear of Missing Out. Check it out wherever you listen or download music.
Order up!
The main dish!
Today on the main dish, we're going to be asking why the local church is important. As Christians, the local church we know is important. The local church isn't just our gathering place, it is where we go to renew our souls. It is the place where we align ourselves with our brothers and sisters in Christ. It is where we get a glimpse of eternity. You know, brothers and sisters together worshiping the one true God seated on his throne. And there are quite of a lot of churches, specifically in the Bible Belt. When you look in the Bible Belt, there's a church on every corner. But what makes a church, though? What does God expect of his church? Why is being part of a local church important to our growth in Christ? Today, we wanted to bring on two gentlemen who lead the flocks that Chandler and I are a part of. These two men have a tremendous undertaking to not only teach God's word faithfully and biblically, but to shepherd the souls of their members. Today, we'd like to welcome our pastors, Kevin Wade of Cleary Baptist Church in Florence, Mississippi, and Stephen Mina of Providence Baptist Church in Clinton, Mississippi. Guys, you there?
Yeah. Hey, how are you doing?
Yep.
Kevin, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Awesome. How are you guys doing today?
Good.
Good, good, good. Well, thank you guys for joining us. This is the 10th episode for us, and so we thought, being 10 episodes in, why not bring two people who are, you know, leading us on a regular basis, get people to know where, I guess, kind of our churches and where we stand in our churches and kind of the backgrounds of our churches a little bit, but also looking totality of why church is important and who better to do that than our pastors. So I guess to start off, first let me kind of explain to you guys how this has kind of worked, since this is the first time we've ever done a conference call, two interviews on one call. So I'm going to ask a question. Our challenge is going to ask a question, and you guys can feel free to answer those questions individually. But if there is, during the answering of the question from somebody else, if you want to, you know, add something or piggyback off of what someone else said, feel free to do so. I know that you guys are probably going to be more like-minded than not, so we want it to be kind of conversational. Does that make sense?
Yeah, sure.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. So to start off, let me ask this question. I guess in relation to the beginning of what we know as the church, where do we first see the church in history, and how was it established?
Well, I mean, you know, the passage that comes to my mind is Matthew, you know, 16, where Jesus says, you know, I will build my church, you know, and or on this rock I will build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail. So I think, you know, Jesus in his own ministry referred to the church.
Kevin, you have anything you want to add?
Yeah, I just amen to that. And I think about, you know, in the book of Acts, just the realities of what, when we see the church established, the early church, and the all the different things that, you know, you see with the church coming together and being together, studying under the apostles' teaching, and, you know, selling their possessions, and just really being a family. Think about the two institutions that God established, or, you know, the family, and then also the church itself. So you just see the connections between the two and how that's, you know, supposed to go about. So
what is the importance of the local church today?
Well, you know, the local church is like Kevin just said, you know, it is the spiritual family of God. It's the local church is God's family, God's people here on earth right now. And so as the local church, we, you know, we have Christ as our head. You know, Paul talks about us being, you know, members one of another, with Christ as our head, and we are God's ambassadors here on earth. We represent Christ to the world in, you know, in the preaching of the gospel, and in living holy lives before him, so that the world may see who Christ is and come to know him and be joined in with that family.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Being a pastor, and you guys can, again, answer these individually or kind of piggyback if you need, but being a pastor, what is your greatest struggle when it comes to shepherding your churches?
I'll just chime in. I mean, just in reality, I guess, you know, as a pastor and just to preach the word and hold the word up high, hold Christ up high, you know, even sermon after sermon, shepherding the people on an individual level, it's always there. But I guess my personal struggle is just the fact that my theology always seems to be way above where my practical living is and what I'm fighting for a holiness in my life that I know is what we all need, you know, and just to stand up every Sunday and realize what I'm calling the church to is what I'm actually I'm calling my own self to these things as well, you know, and just fighting for to hold on to Christ and run after him and, you know, together with him. And so it's just it's a real humbling place to be. That's a constant thing that just wears me out. So often is I want to be perfect and I want to be righteous, you know, in every way possible. But just realizing that Christ is my only righteousness, you know, on any given day, and that the righteousness that I desire you know, is going to come in glory when we finally see him face to face. So that overwhelms me often. Big struggle.
Man, I can totally relate to that. You know, I haven't been pastoring that long, but that is so true. I mean, we're responsible to bring the word to people every week, and I feel like you know, the Lord just deals with me and you know, just talking to somebody the other day about this, how every week he just kind of cuts me wide open.
Yeah.
And just like reveals all of the deficiencies in my life. And even just as I'm preaching the word, just there's this temptation to think that I, in the way I preach or the things I'm saying, is what's going to impact people's lives and not Christ in me through his word. And
yeah.
And so I have to just keep on remembering, I don't measure up. I don't measure up. It's not me. It's the word of God. It's Christ working through his word by his spirit that is really going to impact people's lives. So I try to, you know, kind of maintain that perspective and posture, you know, even as I preach, that I'm preaching to myself, guys. I'm not preaching just to you, but I'm preaching to myself too. And it's his word that's gonna make an impact.
Yeah, that's the same. That's the same way when Chandler and I write songs. When it comes to what we do with Seeker and Servant, we approach it with the same way. We're preaching to ourselves. So anything that we write or say, we want it to be something that we've been preaching to ourselves, that we see in accordance with God's word, that we've been convicted of, and know that this is a right thing,
mm-hmm.
and we first lay it out heavy on ourselves because we need to hear it first before we share it with others. So
yeah,
can definitely align with that. Do you see dangers in the modern day church? And if so, what would those dangers be?
You know, I hear about people who, you know, I've been a part of good churches for a long time where the word is being preached, where people are really striving to walk in holiness, not perfect, you know, but just solid churches. And so I haven't experienced, you know, what other people do in a lot of typical churches, but I'm told by people who go to other churches sometimes, that it's so rare to hear the word of God preached. And just to work through the scriptures and I guess it's just sometimes it's shocking to me. But I think that's a great danger, is that mm-hmm. we have left what Paul calls the foolishness of the cross for the wisdom of the world, the foolishness of preaching for the so-called wisdom of the world. And I think that that's happening a lot in churches.
Yeah, amen to that. Like, you know, you have these the thing that's so popular today is really just philosophy, like, you know, moralistic philosophy, I guess. And what we'll do is we'll just take little snippets of scripture and use them as accessories to our sermon instead of letting the scripture be the sermon, you know. And the temptation is that's what's popular. Mm-hmm. That's what people want to hear. That's what gets the seats filled. Not that God can't do it, you know, through his word, but that seems to be a, you know, so it's a, like, you know, going down a river, in a big canoe, and you're fighting to go upstream. And, it seems like everybody's coming down looking at you going, what are you doing? You know, like this. You know, this foolishness of just preaching the Bible is insane. I mean, who's going to listen to that? You know, so that's always there. I think that's a danger. And I also would just add to this, you know, there's plenty of Bible-believing churches out there who certainly don't do things the way we do at Cleary. Or, you know, I want to say that there's brothers and sisters in those churches, and there are some faithful men of God. They're preaching there, but I would say one of the struggles I've noticed in just talking to some pastor friends of mine is the fact that people, especially in bigger churches, it's easier for them to hide in the background. There's just not really accountability It's just not possible. As you get larger, you really have to fight to keep that in order if that's what, you know, you're shooting for. And that's just not a, that's not a popular trend either, it seems.
Right. So. Yeah. Speaking of the moralistic philosophy and stuff like that, honestly, that's what got Chandler and I in church. I mean, that was the approach of our parents. It was moralistic philosophy, you know, growing up in the Southern Baptist context and being brought to church. I mean, our parents loved us, no doubt, but the intentions behind their heart mostly was that I could say, honestly, is probably this is what a parent should do. This looks better for a parent to have their children in church. They probably wanted us to be moral kids more than anything. So they thought, what better way to learn that than to be in church? That's the great way to learn, you know, morals in general. And so the moralist philosophy is definitely the center, I would say more so the forefront of, you know, our beginnings of church. And then also just to speak to the dangers of kind of taking, you know, a quote here or there, or taking certain parts of scripture out of context to better further, you know, your goal or your selfish ambition, let's say as a pastor, I would say that's more prominent. Because when you look, let's say you go on YouTube today, prominent place where most people spend a lot of people my generation spend their time, there's less and less. I see like 3-4 minute sermon clips, and they're mostly based around this super impactful quote, and you can read the comments and stuff on that, and it seems like this is where the knowledge of supposedly of who God is and stuff comes from now. It's just these one-off motivational quotes that in some kind of way line up with the Bible, but if you really were to dig deeper, you would find that they're, you know, they're just selfishly driven. They're not really there to convict or to draw or to lead people to repentance. They're more so just to kind of make you feel good.
Empower people
and stuff like that. So I definitely see that. Why is it so important for believers to be a part of a local church? Some people may say that home church is just as good as a local church. And is it enough to fill our minds with, you know, Christian conferences, Bible studies, and programs?
Man, you know... The what we see in scripture is that the church is a body. It has many members, the body, but the many members make up one body, and the various members all have different functions. Mm-hmm. You know, Christ has given us various gifts, and they're all for the building up of the body. You know, it's all about the glory of Christ. He's the head. You know, if people are you know, profess to be believers, but they're not connected to the body, they're not following, you know, what Christ intended for them. When you come to Christ, He adds you to His family. You know, and you have a place to edify others, to build one another up, so that Christ might be exalted. And so when there's, you know, Paul says that, you know, you've got hands and feet and eyes and all the different parts of the body. And when you're missing your hand, man, it really impacts your life. Yeah. And right. So, and that's the same thing with the body of Christ. You know, when we're missing people, the body is limping along, you know, so to speak.
Yeah. I think Hebrews chapter 10, you know, verses 24 and 25, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So, man, just the realities of meeting together, as Stephen was saying, the benefits of that are obviously something God ordained and calls for. So, you know, being outside of a local family, local church family is just, I mean, it's just simple, you know, not to be part of it. That's really clear in scripture.
You know, I let me just add something else on that. You know, I was talking to a guy the other day at lunch and just sharing with him that passage that Wade just mentioned. And also in Hebrews 3, you know, take brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. We are prone to wander. You know, that's as the song says, we're prone to wander. And he says, but exhort one another every day as long as it's called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. So, you know, the thing that the devil wants is isolation. That is one of the main tools that he uses to deceive us and to get us not to walk with Christ. We need the body of Christ so that we can encourage one another and stir one another up. And so I couldn't live without it personally.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, I just, you know, I couldn't do it.
Yeah, I think that's that question kind of comes to mind. It kind of was breeded out of this idea that I was having. It was like, and I've done this too, where I filled my time with a lot of like sermons from online or, you know, just like really good sermons from conferences. And I neglected to really invest in the local church and make that more like I rally for my local church more than, you know, I'm promoting all these sermons, all these things I'm hearing. And that does create isolation because you're just kind of living your own Christianity in a sense.
It's impossible. I mean, we weren't meant to walk alone. Mm-hmm. No. That's not part of the Christian faith. It's a call to walk with others and not just walking with others through teaching, through being a part of a faithful church that's teaching biblically, but compassion one another, being there for our brothers and sisters in times of true need, encouraging our brothers and sisters in their walk of faith. And that may even be in times of struggle with sin. Mm. Yeah, maybe in times of other things like that. It's impossible to do that without others, without brothers and sisters in Christ. And so there is definitely... Go ahead.
Yeah, that's definitely it. I just, you know, I have... Today is so easy for us to get on. Like, we get online, get on podcasts, whatever. And there's so many awesome sermons, like heavy, truthful, theological, you know, Bible, you know, drenched sermons that are so good for us. I mean, it's not bad for us to
to
soak those up. But at the end of the day, it's not really about like all our knowledge and theology as much as about our practical loving of one another.
Yes.
And I think that gets lost. You know, like today people are so tempted to like, I understand and know and hear all these things. And when I go to my church, my local pastor is not even on the same playing field with some of these guys I listen to. And therefore, you know, I'm just kind of putting him on the back burner, but in showing up with that body, that local body of believers, and that person sitting beside you and that family sitting behind you, you know that you are there to encourage and exhort and build up that local body. And there is a Holy Spirit that is speaking through that pastor that you listen to online that has some great, great things to say. And he's the same Holy Spirit that's speaking through, you know, your local church pastor who may not be on the same, you know, playing field in your mind. And so I just think that's a big danger today for people. Just withdraw from the church saying, I'm getting fed way more outside of church than I am in. And that's just baloney.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's not how, that's not how the Lord set it up. I mean, so it's like taking an initial definition or design, just like in any other area of life, and eschewing it to fit, really it's to fit our selfish way of viewing it. I mean, it's our way of what we wanted. I mean, if we were all honest, it would be a lot easier just to sit, you know, week after week in the comfort of our homes or wherever, fill ourselves with Christian podcasts and stuff and do that.
That ain't messy, you know?
Yeah, that ain't messy.
Relationships are messy.
And you know? it's just, that's the thing. So it's more about when you're walking alongside others, especially in a covenant faith community, faith family, you are pushing each other to strive for Christ. See that. It's not that we hold, you know, that we're looking at each other's for our standards necessarily of how we should be in Christ, but it's that we are hopefully exhorting and encouraging, just like we see in Scripture, to strive for eternity, right? And we're doing that
together.
I think
that's sharpening us because we're not like you can tailor anything you want to what you want online, whatever style of preaching, whatever.
Yeah, that's right.
And but to be a part of a body and stick it out and be faithful, you're going to have things that you don't necessarily like, but that rub, it's sanctifying, you know?
Yeah.
Like being sharpened is hurt. It hurts. Like, you know, I mean, that hurts, you know, it's a killer. Loving other people is a killer of your pride, you know, that. Mm. And so being in close relationship with others and walking together, you have to swallow your pride. You have to kill your pride, humble yourself constantly, just like marriage, just like parenting. I mean, it is such a sanctifying thing. So people who disconnect from themselves from that, I think are actually feeding their pride. And, so
for real, well, what makes your, this can kind of be, I guess, a heavier question, but what makes your heart break the most as a pastor in relation to the church? And you can speak specifically maybe to your church.
Man, you're trying to get us in trouble.
I know it's a heavy question. Well, see, this podcast is meant to be we want this podcast to be genuine, and not for genuineness sake, but a reality check on the things of Christian culture. That's kind of the way we kind of put it. And so sometimes that means asking those questions. I mean, feel comfortable to say what you're comfortable to say, obviously, but I mean, it's good for others to hear that pastors have souls, right? That they're not just preaching to preach, that they care for their flock, that they have a huge amount of weight on them to love their flock well and to lead them well. And so to get to the bottom of what makes your heart break or what to see as a pastor, I think in relation to people helps them to kind of say, man, this is real. This is the reality of what church is supposed to be, and that these men, they care. They're not just, you know, they're not just theologues up there just dictating and parsing every verb of scripture, right?
I would say on that, you know, the thing that comes to my mind is indifference. You know, when you, indifference to the word, indifference to the amazing joy that we, you know, can have in Christ. And so when you continually bring that to people and you see, you know, in somebody just indifference towards it and it seeming like they just are bored with it, that's really hard to deal with. It's just, it's hard to understand. It's hard to, you know, but I guess that pushes us more to dependence on the Lord and praying for those people, because, you know, I know that, I mean, you just see over and over that you can't change anybody. You know, the word is powerful, and you see it working in your life. You see it working. I see it working in all kinds of people's lives. But then there's sometimes where you see it, it's just like somebody is hardened to it, and they just seem uninterested, and that indifference. I'd rather see people just be against it,
right?
You know, like, no, I don't believe that. You're wrong. Than be just sort of like indifferent and just don't even care.
For sure.
That's so true. I think 2 Corinthians 11, I think it's verse 28. Paul's given that big long list of all his sufferings, all the things he's gone through. And he includes, you know, the daily pressure, the anxiety for all the churches that's on him. And that, I just feel the weight of that. Pretty much, I would say every day of knowing that God's going to hold me accountable for, you know, to some extent for the souls, the care of the souls of His people in this local church, and that weight is heavier than, you know, I could meet with the president or, you know, great kings and leaders, and that's nothing compared to the weight I feel over you know, just that reality. And just like Stephen said, the work that you do to shepherd, you know, folks from a corporate level and individually, both those, the reality is like you have to trust God to do that work. And sometimes that work is not something you see. Like, it's not something that's visible to you. You know, if I'm a carpenter and I, you know, build houses, I can at least, you know, work really hard and build up a wall. And then the next week I show back up and I actually get to see the wall that's built, and I can say, wow, look at all the hard work I put in and how that, you know, great that looks. And that actually, you know, I actually accomplished something. And I think in ministry, especially in pastoring, you go week after week sometimes wondering if you actually built any walls, like if there's anything there at all, you know. And it doesn't mean it's not. It's just not visible to you a lot of times. And,
right.
That drives me insane, to be honest. That's just that reality. So.
Yeah. To end on more of an encouraging note, what sort of encouragement could you give to other church leaders? I guess especially because you guys are pastors of smaller flocks, you know, smaller churches, and that is the honest majority of what churches across this nation are. They're not the mega churches; they're the small churches.
Right.
And so, what kind of encouragement could you give to other church leaders in, let's say, in that particular context?
Wade, you've been at this a lot longer than I have, so.
I would say, brother, don't give up. Just don't give up. Don't look at, you know, all the quote success stories around you, you know, and as you fight to be faithful. I mean, I think about, you know, the whole reality of what Christ will say to us. You know, well done, my good and faithful servant.
Mm-hmm.
Just be faithful to preach the word. Be faithful to hold on to Christ and trust that what you're doing is worthy. It's worthy of the sacrifice and the suffering and the anxieties and all the things that you go through. You know, and know that, you know, people don't change. A lot of times you stay somewhere 20 years, you probably see a lot of the sanctification that takes place in the life of a brother or sister or family, you know, just keep fighting, you know, because it's a worthy calling. It's, you know, I've had several, I'd say, very high level jobs in several corporations before I came in the ministry. And there's just nothing like it. There's nothing harder. There's nothing with this kind of level of pressure, you know, that at least I feel, and I'm sure other brothers feel, but we gotta press on toward the prize, you know, and keep our eyes focused on Christ and know He's worthy. And and if nobody listens, then Christ is still worthy, you know. So that's kind of what I'd say.
Yeah,
I have to keep reminding myself that success is not measured by you know, the size of a budget or of a building, or even necessarily, you know, how many people are part of the church. It's really measured in faithfulness to God and His word, and just continually trusting that he promises not to let His word return void. So, you know, and just so as we minister the word, not just with our words, but in our lives, and our words, of course, in preaching and teaching and whatnot, we just trust that God will work through it. And a lot of what is seen as success in churches is not real success to God. You know, it seems like it on the outside. And I'm not saying that a mega church means that it's not actually doing anything good. I don't know. I can't judge that necessarily. But being a small church doesn't mean you're unsuccessful. I mean, there's a lot of quiet, secret things that go on in believers' lives who are faithful to Him that will change that God will use to change people's lives for eternity, and no one will ever know about it. And that's so right. I just try to remember that God is at work as we are faithful to Him, and we have to trust that He will, He will do with what He wants to through our faithfulness. So,
absolutely, yeah. Well, guys, absolutely. Well, guys, we appreciate it. We thank you for the work you do for the kingdom. We appreciate you as our pastors, and we thank you for your time today. I'm sure we'll have you guys on again in the future as we tackle some more issues relating to Christian culture. But again, we appreciate your time. We hope you guys have a good rest of the day, and we will see you
guys on Sunday.
Enjoyed it. God bless.
All right.
See
you, Kevin.
All right. Where did you get that mug?
This thing? I thought you'd never ask. I got this sweet mug becoming a supporter of the We the Exiles podcast over at patreon.com. Becoming a supporter is easy. For $10 a month, you can support the We the Exiles podcast and the ministry of Seeker and Servant. Only $10. Not only do I feel satisfied drinking out of this amazing mug, but it brings me joy knowing that I'm supporting a Christ-exalting ministry. Head on over to patreon.com/seekerandservant. That's patreon.com/seekerandservant and become an exile today.
Then you pop the finger out. Click it.
Jerry, have you heard of this new podcast called We the Exiles?
John, I actually have, and I've been listening to it quite a bit.
What's the best way to stay in touch with what's going on, We the Exiles?
I have heard they have an incredible Twitter page.
What's their handle?
It is @WeTheExiles.
Ah, found it. Following them now.
Sick.
Did anyone leave room?
Oh, maybe a little bit of pudding.
It's time for dessert.
You love your pudding.
Don't. Yeah. Awesome.
Woohoo.
Awesome. I'm beginning to see that more because for me, when it comes to like the local church and speaking just from a personal perspective of it, you and I have been in and out of other churches. We even helped plant a church, and we've seen the ugly side of church ministry. And we've seen the really awesome, awesome God glorifying side of it too.
Oh yeah.
And, both these churches, Cleary, which is actually where we're recording this podcast from, Kevin being the pastor there, he was Chandler and I was originally our youth pastor. And then Providence, where Stephen is, then he started out kind of as the worship leader there, and now he's head pastor there. Both of the churches, though, kind of have their interconnections. I mean, people have gone to both churches that are involved in our lives. Both churches are faithful churches. Both churches, I think, are seeking and the Lord and wanting to glorify God above all things. Yeah. So both churches are great, and both churches are, I see, working together rather than apart, which is what churches should do with each other. So, super encouraging to have our pastors on and to have conversation with them to show you guys, you know, who's kind of teaching us on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
To kind of who's actually driving our spiritual growth.
Yeah.
And that's our pastors.
Yeah. I'm really encouraged. This being the 10th episode, and just looking back over the 10 episodes we've recorded, it's been really neat. I think yesterday I was just kind of listening through some snippets of some of the interviews we've done and stuff. And I just thought, you know, just for us being new at this and never having done it before, and just God has blessed us with some really cool people to be on thus far. And I've been really encouraged from the conversations we've had. You know, it's not just something that we're doing to put out for other people. Like, it's actually affecting me, you know, hearing from these people and just having conversations all across, you know, the country, and people in different walks of life, but under the same banner of Christ.
Right.
And that's been really, really encouraging to me. So I'm really excited for the next 10 and hopefully the next 10.
Yeah.
If you guys want to support us, as you know, which we mention in our commercials, but you can head over to patreon.com to help this podcast continue to go. And it is patreon.com/seekerandservant. We have a $10 tier. It's $10 a month. We're asking that you commit a year to paying that. You'll get a awesome
mug. And exclusive. Only through that.
It's a We the Exiles mug. It's pretty cool. And you'll also get all of our content, Seeker and Servant or We the Exiles.
Any other video content. Yeah. So the ideas for us and what we kind of want to do with all this doesn't just end with the podcast. You mm-hmm. know, we have ideas starting all the time. Chandler and I are idea makers.
Oh, yeah.
And we know these ideas, first and foremost, if they're good, or let's say God glorifying, that God will do what he wants with those. Mm-hmm. And so as many ideas as we think of, the same ideas never come to fruition.
Oh, yeah.
And that's God. I mean, we know that's 100%. But the ones that do, we know that God's 100% behind. And there are other things we want to do, such as some documentaries, some video content dealing with even theology and doctrine.
Oh, yeah.
Just other things to encourage and edify the church, our brothers and sisters. That's what mm-hmm. we want. Again, this podcast was created from this desire for us to speak honestly and truthfully about what we say the black and white things of Scripture. In fact, when we had Brian Sumner on, the title of that podcast was No Gray Area. He talked about something in that. And that's kind of where we are. We don't believe that there is a gray area when it comes to following the Lord. It's like what Christ, he doesn't, there's no lukewarm Christian. You're either hot or you're cold. It's mm-hmm. the same way when it comes to approaching God's word, approaching God's truth. It's either truth or it's not truth. And well, for us, it's truth. And in Christian, it is truth. And so there is no gray area. And we wanted to start a podcast that was unashamed to call the Scriptures black and white, to operate without the existence of a gray area, to push our faith, to grow mm-hmm. our faith, as well as to hopefully, by God's amazing grace, encourage you too mm-hmm. in that truth. We need more men and women, specifically young Christian men and women, who hold to the sufficiency of Scripture, who stand firm when it comes to God's truth, and who are willing to say that, no, Christ is worth this boldness. Christ is worth standing firm on the foundation which we've been given through God's word.
Yeah.
And so today, for our dessert segment, we're going to be looking at Titus 2, since this has kind of been about the church. This is a great passage in relation to the church. We're going to be looking at all of it. It's not that long of a chapter, so I'll read it, and then we'll kind of just spend some time discussing it. But it's going to be Titus chapter 2, starting in verse 1 to the end of the chapter. So if you're listening, you have your Bibles, feel free to read along with us. Let's get started. So Titus 2, verse 1 says, "But you are to proclaim things consistent with sound teaching. Older men are to be self-controlled, worthy of respect, sensible and sound in faith, love, and endurance. In the same way, older women are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not slaves to excess drinking. They are to teach what is good, so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands and to love their children, to be self-controlled, pure, workers at home, kind, and in submission to their husbands, so that God's word will not be slandered. In the same way, encourage the young men to be self-controlled. In everything, make yourself an example of good works with integrity and dignity in your teaching. Your message is to be sound beyond reproach, so that any opponent will be ashamed because he doesn't have anything bad to say about us. Slaves are to submit to their masters in everything, and to be well-pleasing, not talking back or stealing, but demonstrating utter faithfulness, so that they may adorn the teaching of God our Savior in everything. For the grace of God had appeared, bringing salvation for all people, instructing us to deny godlessness and worldly lusts, and to live in a sensible, righteous, and godly way in the present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to cleanse us from for himself a people for his own possession, eager to do good works. Proclaim these things, encourage and rebuke with all authority. Let no one disregard you. And first Titus 2, of course, 1 Timothy chapter 2, a lot of the foundations of church government, I would say, church structure. This right. is where we get a lot of that understanding from God's word. And it's so important. And when you read these things, it's kind of crazy because you read these things and it makes you kind of wonder how much those things are being followed. Mm-hmm. And with that much seriousness, mm-hmm. the weight that those things carry, you know, older men teaching younger men and older women teaching younger women. This is important. Obviously, it's because life, as you grow older, that there's something to say about, you know, with wisdom with age. That's not necessarily always true because you can be, you know, have wisdom and worldliness mm-hmm. and not be wise. But this is more so wisdom when it comes to being a Christian, walking the Christian life. That's yeah. why it's so important when you see people worn down by the weariness of the world and them living out their Christian faith for a while. There's a lot to learn as a young man or woman
oh, yeah.
from your elders. But the same way, actual church government elders should be following these practices. And that's what it's most referring to, pastors and elders being sound
yeah.
in teaching. That's first and foremost.
Yeah.
The I guess you would say the arch is that you have to be sound. You know, teaching, it goes on to say, in your teaching, obviously with integrity and dignity in your teaching, your message is to be sound beyond, this verse 8, reproach, so that any opponent will be ashamed because they don't have anything bad to say about mm-hmm. us. When you preach the word faithfully, when you're like our two pastors, men who are preaching the sound word, there's nothing that anyone can say to you
mm-hmm.
that, They may say things to try to undermine what you're saying, or they may say things to try to slander what your church is doing, but they're only doing that because they actually have nothing to say that's against God.
When you stick true to the text, I mean, there's really nothing. Yeah, there's nothing. It's hard to get into any rut with that. You're sticking to the text.
Yeah, God is not wrong.
Yeah, I think that's. Being faithful, you know, not wavering in what it says, you know, teach what accords with sound doctrine.
Mm-hmm. And another thing too, something you see through scripture, not just here, but about being self-controlled, about you being in control of your body, not vice versa. A lot of things too, that practice or that encouragement of that practice from elders in the church and is more seldom seen mm-hmm. than not, but we don't really see that. And I would say we live in a culture of so much excess
mm-hmm.
that fight to be self-controlled is very difficult. But it is one that should be being put on display by our elders,
oh, yeah.
by our pastors, by men who are doing that, which that means sometimes taking up sacrifices, that other people may think's crazy to sacrifice for, mm-hmm. especially in the age in which we live.
Yeah, that really speaks volumes to me. Just the whole idea of being self-controlled, it's something that I still, you know, it's at the forefront of my mind constantly in my life and things that I need to be self-controlled in. But really, and that's an exhortation to younger men to be self-controlled, and amen that for churches to really invest in the younger men in the church growing up to be self-controlled and everything, because if you can learn to be self-controlled, that will help you so much in so many things in life,
right.
things that I'm still trying to struggle with. If I had been self-controlled when I was younger, you know, I wouldn't be dealing with these problems.
Kevin said too, just accountability. That's why accountability is so important. It's not just enough just to stand up there and preach faithfully and biblically. Your responsibility also is to make sure your flock is kept in check. Paul did that This, like it says at the end, proclaim these things, encourage and rebuke with all authority. It's not just encouraging, which is what most people love. It's just encouragement, bless your soul. That's all you need. No, no, sometimes you need to be told you need to repent.
Yeah.
You need to be shown how evil and wicked your heart is. You need to be reminded why Christ died for you so that you can be drawn to repentance, you can repent and to grow in your faith. And that doesn't happen with just encouragement. That happens with rebuke. And that's a lot more times than not for me specifically. I need more rebuke than I need for encouragement. And so it's good for my soul when other people who are walking alongside of me, especially faithful men or even our pastors, are able to say, call you out in that. And yes, encourage you, because encouragement needs to go along with it. But to be honest and real and say, look, you trend down this path, you're going to get in a world of danger that's not only harming your witness, but it's harming the entire witness of Christianity. Think about this with major pastors who have fallen, who make the headlines, the ones that make the headlines, and then everybody says, see, that's what it is. That is why these passages are important, because they're saying that will happen if you don't follow the way that God has set up his church, meaning that if pastors aren't being sound in teaching, if they aren't being self-controlled, if elders aren't doing the same thing and they're not encouraging others, well, what happens is if a pastor becomes just a celebrity pastor and he gets courage, when he falls big. Mm-hmm. And when he falls too, then the world eats it up as like, well, see, this is the way that Christianity is. It's no different than anything else. Mm-hmm. And we are called to a higher standard. Our standard is Jesus Christ. That is the highest standard that there is. And so we're called to be imitators of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Well, imitating Christ, Christ is the standard of perfection. He is all righteous. He is holy. And so we, in our fleshly bodies, know we won't be able to necessarily achieve that in this life, because we're constantly being sanctified, but we will one day be made perfect when Christ returns to gather Christians to himself for all eternity. Yes, mm-hmm. we will be.
Yeah, and it's for the grace of God. And I think, that's such key, in verse 11 says, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives. It's only through the grace of God and through Christ that we can uphold these, and we can be self-controlled, we can renounce the ungodliness of this world. And that's what we encourage you guys today, to really think on these things, to really chew on these things, to see, check yourself, are you walking as a model of good works, and are you teaching, showing integrity, dignity, and sound speech? Are you sticking true to what we see in the text?
And I would say, if you are part of a local body, just because a man has a degree or he's in front of you on a weekly basis teaching the truth doesn't necessarily give him authority. Now, all pastors do have authority if they're teaching faithfully God's word. And so a lot of things were taken. Examine the context where you are. It's not going to do your soul any good to sit in a church that isn't going to push and grow your faith.
Mm-hmm.
If you're, and we're not saying either that you should just leave a church because something rubs you the wrong way. We just talked about that with our pastors. That's not it. It's not about everything you want. But clearly in Scripture, we see that the pastor better be teaching faithfully in sound doctrine.
Are
with
you
the
teaching
word.
The word of God?
Yeah, and see that in your church. If church is just about you, if it's just about what makes you feel good. What entices your emotion, and you leave with this grand emotional experience week after week, then I promise you, over time, you may feel like you're growing your faith, but you're actually dulling it, because what happens is you're obtaining what the Bible says is itching ears.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, over time, instead of what you thought was growing your faith, you were actually growing an appetite for what brought you to church. And when those things begin to fade and there's nothing left because truth was never involved in it, then what happens to you?
Mm-hmm.
What happens to you? Church is not supposed to be about experience. It's not supposed to be about how good can I feel today? Mm-hmm. Oh, man, I've had a terrible week, so I need to pick me up. God is joy, and that will happen in your life if you're trusting in the Lord. But our for churches, for being involved in a church, isn't about that experience alone and that, and just everything that's about you. It's about reminding you of the glory that is to come. Mm-hmm. It's about showing you what really, and reminding you what really is important in life, and encouraging you,
growing
and,
with other believers,
growing in other people, realizing that, man, these other people who are around me who are singing in unity with me to the one true God, mm-hmm. they're sinners like I am, mm-hmm. and the only way that they're saved just like I am is the hope that we've been given through Christ, and that should stir our affections alone,
and being being nourished,
by opening
the scriptures,
right, opening God's word. Having God's word faithfully preached, if you are in faith, it will stir your affection. It will, I can't think of how many times, not just even in church context, but in my personal Bible study time, when there have been days that have, a couple of days gone by and I have neglected it, mm-hmm. right? And I say to myself, it's easy to begin when you, the more you neglect it, to kind of think, well, that little time is not really going to be that important. But then when I actually try to be disciplined and do an open God's word, and I'm reminded, wow, this really does put on the armor of God for me for the day. This shapens my heart and my mind and my soul for the day to look to Christ and not the world. Uh-huh. And I may not understand every single thing, especially like when we read some of the genealogies of the Old Testament, stuff like that. You wonder, how could this be beneficial? But every part of God's word is beneficial to the Christian mm-hmm. soul, every part of it. And we need every single part of it.
Well, guys, we hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you did, we'd love to hear from you. Head on over to Twitter. Our handle is @WeTheExiles. Drop us a line there and give us a follow. We are excited to continue forward with this podcast, and we thank you guys for joining us. So until next time, set your eyes on Christ and fight the good fight. We are the Exiles.